Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, podcast listeners. We're taking a holiday break, but we'll be back in February with brand new Dragon Friends adventures. In the meantime, here's a very silly Christmas treat.
Our story's just a story, and should never end. The saga of our heroes called the Dragon Friends.
As a silence falls on the audience. I didn't think that would work. It is Yulemas, a season for reflection and celebration. A blanket of snow covers Daggerford as its inhabitants huddle indoors by glowing hearths, singing songs and making merry. All over Faerûn, elf and dwarf alike perform the various traditions of the season, preparing special foods, crafting gifts, and painting oranges with paint made from the crushed red poisonous berries of the holly bush, rendering them poisonous and decoratively inedible. On the outskirts of Daggerford, beyond the Dragonback Inn, where Grim Saltback is stacking decorative oranges perilously close to a stack of regular eating oranges, across a bridge that spans the frozen river, where children skate above the inanimate body of a crocodile suspended in the ice, we find the Dragon Friends in a cozy cottage that, frankly, does not belong to them. Yet here they are, and though they did not pay any rent to acquire their accommodations, at least no one was murdered in the process. After all, tis the season. Filge, who has been excited beyond belief about the impending celebrations, is gleefully putting the finishing touches to what can only be described as a parody of a gingerbread house. While Bobby runs around the kitchen, alternating between his duties at the hearth, ladling an apple cider reduction over a fat Yulemas goose, and smacking painted oranges out of Baston's hand each time he raises one to his lips.
They look so good.
Also in the cottage, sitting quietly on a stool against a wall, is a high elf, who you would be forgiven for mistaking as Friezo, except for the fact that Friezo is sitting opposite him, eyes locked as if looking into a mirror, his face mere inches away. This is Froyo, Friezo's cousin.
What? What's the name of Friezo's cousin?
Froyo. Froyo, who has journeyed many miles from a small temple in Glimmerwood.
Froyo, it's nice to be here with you.
You fucking weeb.
Dave, yes.
Yeah. Froyo is an unexpected guest. And although Bobby, Baston and Filge have made him feel welcome, Friezo is suspicious or threatened or both. Up to this point, he assumed he had no living relatives.
Okay, now just before we begin, yep. I have nothing in front of me.
I have prepared a character sheet for you, Dave. Please do enjoy.
Unfurl the napkin.
It's on real paper.
We spared no expense.
What the fuck is this? Can I show you a character sheet?
These are the character sheets Dave usually makes for us. They've got a nice picture. They're all nicely laid out. All our stats and dice and whatnot are explained.
What the fuck is this?
Hey, baby, you do it your way. We'll do it our way.
Yeah. Hairy boys in the house.
Hairy boys.
Hairy boys.
Oh, yeah, did you call us the Smooth Boys before?
Yeah.
Right, Smooth Boy.
That's the name of our ska band.
Smooth Boy. All right. Friezo thinks all his family is dead.
Yeah, famously he was raised at the temple where
so,
he was.
So he didn't even know this Froyo existed.
I have the ability to twink spell.
Let me see that.
Is that to make someone a twink? Just or?
Twink spell.
Just to be clear,
where am I looking?
Froyo is almost identical to Friezo. He is the same height, the same build.
Should be doing a Michael Hing impression.
No.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
Seems like, Damn it! Stop coming me. Anyway.
Yeah, the only difference is that...
7:30 Project, I'm available. That's all I'm saying.
The only difference is that while Friezo has a mustache and beard, Froyo is a smooth boy.
But so I guess what I'm asking is, because Friezo was raised as an orphan, so when this person says that they are Friezo's first cousin,
yeah,
how would he prove that? Like, is there any proof?
You look identical.
Now, I have been.
World of magic.
Talk to him. Friezo, find out.
Friezo, I thought that you might say this. My parents told me when I last saw them that you were a boy touched with the spirit of.
They said a boy touched.
A boy on the spectrum. And so I have had a local apothecary prepare these certificates of bloodline, and I passed to him a small sheath of papers.
Right. And when you say your parents, what do you mean?
Well, you see, Friezo, your parents were really my parents, the only parents that I ever knew. Not my parents, my blood, it is true.
Wait, so you're... So
they
my,
raised
my
me
parents...
and loved me as if I was their own.
And yet, wait.
Christmases were a magical time.
So my parents...
And that's why I'm so pleased at last to meet you, my only other living relative.
You just came here to tell me that my parents gave me up so they could raise you? You fuck, what?
I went to the best schools of magic. I wanted for nothing, and yet there was a hole in my heart that is only full on this day. Come, embrace me, cuz.
Friezo is skeptical, but thinks that he could probably use this fucking idiot for later.
At that precise moment, there is a crashing sound, and you all jump out of your seats. You see that Filge, in her excitement, has exhausted herself, and coupled with a sugar crash from eating too many offcuts of her gingerbread house, has crashed out face first on the table and is snoring loudly. Bobby has managed to swoop in and grab the gingerbread house before she's shattered it into a million pieces. While everyone sort of has jumped up, Bobby takes the opportunity to head just to corner Friezo and just have a quick chat. Hey, man, I just wanted to have a little word with you.
Me too.
You know it's Yulmus, right?
I know.
Yeah?
Just wanted to give you a heads up. In terms of the gift giving, all that sort of stuff, look, I have something for you. I'm going to give it to you now. It's something small. I know you're interested in baking, so here's a yeast starter. Bobby hands him a little jar of yeast starter, which is the sort of the yeast that you start to use to make a sourdough bread.
All right, so let's just log that when Simon hands a jar of white liquid over to Hing, Ben says nothing.
But more importantly, Filge has worked really, really hard on a present for you, and I don't want to give away what it is, but she's going to give it to you tomorrow, and she's super excited, and I just wanted to make sure that you had a gift for her.
Now, how was I supposed to prepare a gift? This is me as Michael
Hing
now.
It is Christmas.
I haven't read any of the emails leading up to this, so I don't know what prep I was supposed to do, but I don't have a gift. We're in Daggerford, right?
Yeah.
So I could go and buy a gift.
Oh, on Yulmus Eve?
Oh, I forgot to say, by the way, after we killed the vampire,
yes.
I collected up all the coins.
What? What was that like?
Did you give them to yourself?
No. They were in a bag that isn't... No, I didn't shit myself with coins.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
I did not shit myself. But I have some money that I will go on Yulmus Eve to the fanciest... What's Filge into?
Mate, everything's closed.
It looks like I'm going to break into a department store and steal a gift.
Bobby fixes you with, like, the coldest stare that you've, like, ever seen him give. And he... with a strength beyond that of a halfling, grabs you by the shirt and flings you towards the door and says, "Do not fuck this up for Filge. Get out of here and do not come back until you have a Yulmus present for him."
All right.
Do I make myself clear?
He seems quite upset.
as clear as the ear
says
on
Baston,
your...
leaning around the corner with two baking mitts and a turkey on a tray.
So I guess I guess Frieza wanders out into the snow.
Oh, cousin. It has been a long life of indolence, indescribable wealth and comfort. I have long longed to have an adventure. Might I accompany you on this journey?
What? Why is my cousin Martin Prince? Yes. You...
Diction and the best schools, as I said.
Yeah, right. So I Froyo can come along, but you're not allowed to talk to anyone. I'm the charismatic one.
Fair deal.
Actually, what are your stats?
Ah, that's a good question. Hello. I'm Charisma 18. What are you?
I am Charisma 50. Oh, come on!
Fear not, cousin. I will talk in your place, charm in your shoes. I shall make shops that were previously unopened opened for you, for I will always help my poor gormless cousin.
This is a real country mouse, city mouse situation. I love it. I love it.
Damn it. All right.
So as
we're going shopping.
As Bobby pushes you out towards the door, like your legs are straight and your heels are like up and you're so like, can anyone else picture that? Like a cartoon character? That's just my beautiful mind. Shoves you out the door into a swirling blizzard. Immediately, you cannot see each other. And you call out and you can kind of hear each other, but basically all you can see is white. Friezo, oh yeah. Ben, you had something Christmassy to say?
Is it come?
What?
What? he said before
that. What's your role in this show?
I don't know.
Dave and I have characters. So I haven't eaten the DMing, so what are you doing?
Oh, he's the cum master. He's taking an inventory.
He's the cum gin master.
There we go. So, Friezo, we'll just focus on you for a second. Mm-hmm. As you walk your way through the swirling blizzard, a flecks of ice and snow biting at your skin, you see a sudden flash of crimson to your left, and then your right. And then you feel a blade slice the back of your shirt and graze your shoulder blade. The eye of the storm opens up and you find yourself surrounded by a whirling wall of moving snow on all sides inside an aperture of about 10 meters in diameter that is clear all the way up into the sky.
Feet, by the way.
Not in my world, baby.
Well, good luck converting your spells.
Christmas magic is converted by love.
Yeah.
Just as you look up to the top of this whirling tunnel of snow, you see the sun turn from red to black. You feel a prick.
Why was the sun red?
Why indeed, Friezo? You feel a prick at the back of your neck and you spin around to see a crimson shape disappearing through the wall. You put your hand to the wall as if to follow, but you're whipped around like a rag doll in a tumble dryer. And when your eyes open, you're lying on your back. And you see an elfin figure, roughly the same size as yourself, standing poised to attack, a long, thin blade glinting in his hand, and a crimson cape flapping in the wind.
This is not me.
His eyes are wide open despite the swirling snow and ice, and his expression is eerily blank, yet somehow determined.
You think you can kill me? Why don't you try?
All right.
And then I want to stab him. Can I stab him?
Wait, is combat starting? What?
Yeah, combat.
Who is this person?
Just to be clear, Eden is like the combat man and numbers man.
I got the dice, bitch.
So if anything goes wrong there, that's on him.
All yep. Right. Okay. So because of all the ice and things, the man with the cape has an attack of opportunity on you, Friezo. Friezo, what's your armor class?
My armor class is 14.
Yep, he hits you and he does...
Mama!
8 points of damage. How many hit points do you have to start?
I've got 20.
Oh, well, you're down to 12, sucker. Froyo, you're up.
Oh no, Froyo's not there. Froyo is lost in the swirling.
Why'd
ice.
You do that, dummy? Be better, Hing.
Oh wait, so happy to be here.
Wait. So do I know who this guy is?
No, but he just stabbed you.
What the fuck is happening? All right, I'm gonna witch bolt this motherfucker. Let's
go. Here we go.
Let's go. All right, so you've got to roll a spell saving throw or beat 16.
I'll do it.
No, I don't think he does, but yeah. Go on.
Well, hey, why not? Nah.
Did it.
Shit.
All right, you're copping some damage. You're copping plus 5 and then is it 3d6, I think?
Sure, why not?
Sure, all right. So that's 3, that's 6, and that is 2. So you take 11 damage.
Yeah, well, he's not dead. Whatever. Oh, well, this guy is like, fuck you! And he whips his rapier around and tries to hit you with it. 12.
Does not hit.
Nah,
all right.
Fuck you.
Hang on. No, wait. What's your... I'm not going to let him get away with that. What's your dexterity?
Plus 2.
My armor class is 14. Doesn't hit.
All right.
Stay out of this, Dave.
Don't bully the new DMs.
So, I'm just gonna keep witch bolting you.
All right,
that's
go.
How witch bolt works.
How many times can you do that a day?
Yeah, how many?
No.
He can keep the spell going.
The way witch bolt works is I just hold it on you and I'm just draining. Oh,
do I get another saving throw though?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you,
I do.
You
yeah,
absolutely
I do.
Got to beat 6.
One. Oh, oh no. Okay.
Right,
how much damage?
That's a 2. That's a 3, and that is a 5. So that's 10 damage. You dead yet? Do you like this? Is this what you wanted?
The guy in the... He's like an elfin dude with a red cape and the sword goes... Ah! Finally! Sweet, sweet death!
Did he want to die? I end the spell
too
before
late.
He dies.
Too late!
Too late! You killed him!
But not quite. In his last breath, he laughs.
Yeah!
What is going on? All right, so I'm just gonna mark down my temporary hit points.
He's not dead yet.
What?
His hand comes up and beckons to you
with like a creepy finger in a sex club. just like a disembodied hand in a sex club, just beckoning to.
And it becomes
eerily
silent.
That seems really specific.
I approach the creepy man.
He says, whispering into your ear. You take my life, but by that same hand, you take my curse.
Yeah!
Ah!
A sharp!
Why are there repercussions at Christmas for killing people?
I
don't know.
A sharp gust of wind seems to dissipate the wall of ice and snow that surrounds you, and the corpse of the other elf blows away as if it were made by, but were made from naught but fine powder snow.
Can I loot the body?
You go to loot the body.
I loot the body.
But before you do, suddenly you feel a tightness on your head as 5 thin golden rings materialize around your head and tighten around your skull, forming a coronet of sorts. Your hair and beard turns
Cornetto?
White. A coronet, it's like a crown. Your hair and beard turn white, and a heavy red cape unfurls from nothing, cloaking your shoulders.
Wait.
Suddenly... Out of nowhere, a reindeer appears.
Oh, what have you done now, you idiot?
Very, very good.
What the shit is this?
Is this reindeer's name, perchance?
I'm Rudushu.
That's Zimbabwe now, by the way.
Yeah, look, you know.
Equatorial Rudushu.
Equatorial Rudushu. Oh, you are a dummy. Look at you, you've cursed yourself.
What's going on? What is this? Who did I kill, first of all?
Well, look, I don't know a lot. But you sure do look like you're dressed like the king of Yulmus.
Ah, I like being a king.
Yes. Cursed for eternity to sleep 11 months of the year and for 1 month to work tirelessly to deliver presents to the children of the world.
And what if I don't?
Then, I don't know actually.
I assume something bad would happen.
And with that, Rudushu disappears. And Froyo runs towards his cousin.
I tried every store in town, but they're all closed. What the fuck? Is that a dead body?
No questions from you. But if you kill me, you get a present.
You suddenly hear the jingle of chimes, and the eye of the storm closes in on you as before, and Friezo and Froyo see nothing but white until it dissipates, and the two of you find yourself in a crudely hewn room with uneven walls and floors. The room is not made of wood or stone by traditional carpentry or masonry, but somehow, magically or otherwise, the wall and the floor all appear to be made from the same one big piece, joined together with some sort of thick adhesive.
Anyone care to make a perception check?
Is the adhesive comp? No, sorry. Perception check. Ha-cha-cha. That's pretty good.
You perceive that the crude material that the house is made of is, in fact, gingerbread.
Oh!
And if you look to the crude window, which is basically just sort of a cutout, you see the enormous figure of Baston in the kitchen of the cottage, singing a special Christmas song to himself.
You must time with a little baby. So, I mean... So Froyo and I are in a little... What's happened? We've been Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is...
Just shrunk is...
We just call it shrunk.
What scientists call it.
Interesting. We've been magic school bust into the... into the gingerbread house.
That's correct.
Yes, okay. That's correct. We have been Rick and Morty season one right inside that gingerbread house.
Well, can I just say that just as a character note for Baston... It only occurred to me just now, but I think he's like a freakishly good cook. Does that line up with anybody else?
I'm worried that if we're not very careful, that Baston is going to become not legally distinct from the character of Gronk from...
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be very careful at this point because we need to know where our plagiarism is.
Couldn't we just take from everywhere and then it'll be okay?
What is satire but plagiarism in a mask? Anyway, do we know what we've got to do in this? I guess we've got to break out of this gingerbread.
I'm frightened, cousin. Here. What is happening? This is not like my life of luxury.
So I think Friezo at this point would be too proud to admit he doesn't know what's going on. So he's just going to like play it cool with Froyo.
But you need some help? You think Friezo needs some help knowing sort of what to do?
He definitely did not say that.
But I would secretly get it without Froyo knowing. That's the plan.
Well, so you think you might make a Christmas wish? Because from the window you can see a star atop a Yulmus tree that seems to be glinting. So if you
I can think of nothing more dangerous than giving Friezo a wish for any reason.
So what can I wish? I can wish for anything. That's how Yulmus wishes work, right?
You heard of Yulmus like a minute ago.
Yeah. You're the famously the Yulmus wish you get whatever you want.
See, no. Famously the Yulmus wish you get what you deserve.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what if I wish for something bad? Will I get a good thing then?
Can I get what you deserve.
No, but can I... But
and if justice I, will be served.
Can I
encourage you to try and hack this wish.
I'm gonna min-max game this wish
scenario,
right?
Sure, go for it.
Right? So what's going to happen is the wish thinks that they need to punish me. But if I pretend I want something bad, then they'll give me something good.
Cousin, you're babbling.
I wish... for Baston to have a heart attack.
You don't benefit from that.
At that precise moment, a gingerbread man appears and slaps you across the face. And that gingerbread man is played by none other than Ben Jenkins.
Hello! You guys. What? So what's wrong with you?
What?
I've had some... You're
becoming Stride again. You're becoming
Stride. Yeah, I know.
Which... What voice... Let's work out the voice first.
Okay. I was thinking something like that.
Oh. Like a grown-up Stewie Griffin?
Is that Bernard King?
No. No.
It's Australian.
That's Janos Mia the Beggar King.
Yeah, in a way. What? It's Rove McManus.
Gross.
We apologise once again for a baffling reference for our international listeners.
Say hi to your mum for me, and then he slaps you again.
And then Friezo, confused, goes, what the? We could do this all night, guys. We have a lot of references to Rove McManus.
Were you just about to wish upon a star that man had a heart attack?
Well, yeah, but I thought that if I wished the bad thing...
Do you know what usually happens?
What?
I mean, I don't know, I've been existing for about a minute, but when I could guess that what usually happens with someone in your predicament, turned up, cursed, goes, oh, maybe I'll have a wish that helps me be less cursed,
I was worried...
People don't just go, oh, the first thing I see, maybe that could die. But again, I don't know.
I was worried, and this is for your benefit as well.
Sure.
I was worried that because he's in the kitchen and he's... He was in the kitchen, he's doing all his bits and bobs. I was worried he's going to put us in the oven and burn us.
How do you think a gingerbread house works?
To be honest, I don't know.
Right.
You'd have to bake it at some point.
Simon, sidebar. Now, can I see him arguing with this gingerbread man, or has Friezo started having a conversation with himself?
No, you can see this gingerbread man. So he's about sort of half the size of you guys.
Oh, that's cute.
Does that mean we are giants in this house as well? Because the house would be made to scale for him.
No.
Are we Willy Wonkering this?
He's
no, that's a very good question.
I love the way your mind works.
That's a really good question. Are they like?
Are we like?
No. Or is he like? Oh, I can't reach the drawers.
No, like. Yeah. It's like your adult...
So he's ludicrously small for a gingerbread house.
Yeah.
Well, so why have they made a tiny man for this giant house?
To be fair, what's happened is that when you become cursed with the curse of the Yulmus King, that old elemental magic that binds you to the curse creates a guide for you at the same time.
Hello?
Oh!
And so literally, this gingerbread man has just been... brought into existence.
Right, okay. So Filge did not make this gingerbread
man. No, that's
not.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Does it explain why the house isn't the right size for me, though?
You're ginger boy sized and they're ginger people sized.
Okay.
I just don't think anybody benefits from that scenario. Then could we not have just split the diff?
Maybe your size is contingent with the moral, like, turpitude of the Yulmus King who...
yes, because I'm actually, fun fact, the gingerbread guide for the Yulmus King is fashioned out of a portion of his soul.
Whose soul?
The Yulmus King's.
It's part of my soul.
In direct proportion to the size of your soul.
Does that mean if I kill you, I'll get less of my soul?
I wouldn't try to kill me if I were you. But, hey, live your own life. Your own accursed life. Do you know the particulars of the curse?
The particulars of the curse are 11 months of the year I sleep, and then 1 month of the year,
yes,
I have to give presents to all of the boys.
Not 1 month. You have 25 days to prepare, 24, and then 1 day to zip about and go, hello, what did you want a bike?
And what do
there
I,
you go, there's a bike for you.
This is becoming close to the Padishah exile. I just.
And then what do I do in the interregnum between Christmas and New Year's? Is that just me time?
No, back in. What happens basically is that the curse that compels you to travel all around the world and deliver gifts to all of the peoples gives you a lot of power to do that. But that magic that is required is so draining that you're basically forced into hibernation.
In layman's terms, you tuck it out.
Now, how can I? Is there a way to break this?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Yes, well, I mean, of course.
Is there a way to stop giving the gift of joy to millions of children?
I have some stuff I've got to get to, right? We just killed
what
a vampire.
Could Friezo's stuff possibly?
Presumably,
be?
What's one example of a thing that Friezo needs to do pretty urgently?
I because when we left that
say cast, sorry to Clive, who's widow?
Who's that?
Pay back his debt?
No. I.
Presumably when we... What? No? Benny? What?
Nah, it's just, even I get it. And,
and I'm much busier than you right now.
So is that what just... I have to do to break the curse?
No!
What?
What do you have to do right now?
I have to give presents to kids.
No, no, no. What happened? Why did you leave? Why did you leave the hut?
To get a present for Phil.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But now I'm in the... But...
Fuck.
I know. But now that I'm in... But now I'm in the gingerbread house. Like, I just get her a present
fun
from the
fact,
house.
Fun fact. A friend of mine...
She's created all of this house.
A friend of mine...
What am I going to give her? I'm going to give her the drawers from the house she already made.
So
she already has this. Where am I get a present from her in the fucking house? Oh, my... What? You think I'm really going to get a present for her?
There is a, ladies and gentlemen, there is a friend
the
of
real Michael Hing.
This is on rails. Whatever you do, that will fix it. So it's a show, you know. Just play along.
I'm trying.
There is a friend of mine who in Chicago listens to this podcast, and if you're listening, hi Leon, who says that he listened to the last episode and he said it's really interesting. I really find the podcast fun, but Michael Hing sounds like he'd be a lot smarter than he is.
Oh boy.
So just
where
to be,
were we?
Just to be clear, the true curse of the Yulmus King is that he's rendered immortal, and the cycle continues forever. 11 months in hibernation and 24 days to prepare for Christmas, and then one day
to
perform the enormous act of kindness.
But it can be broken, and I'm kind of in a sort of guide capacity, a sort of Christmas guide. It's called the Trials of the Yulmus King. If you want to try it, or you can have the best job of the world, I think. Work one day a year, yes please. Clock on.
How many days a week? How many days of the year do you work, Rove?
12 minutes.
I mean, yeah. What
yeah,
are
well,
I've
existed for 12 minutes, yeah. So 12 minutes a year so far.
Okay. And it's just okay.
I get good super.
So what?
You notice that the little gingerbread man is holding in one hand a candy cane and in the other hand a piping bag full of icing. Or frosting for our American listeners.
And, okay, so what's with the cane and the icing?
Well, they're for the trials.
All right, how many trials are there? There are...
Three
trials. The way that it works for the gingerbread man, whose name is...
Rove. We've established this.
Mr. McManus.
Mr. McManus. Please, Mr. McManus is my father.
Yeah, basically, he was just born, so he kind of senses the pathway to take you to each of those.
So he doesn't know exactly how many...
He doesn't know exactly, except... for the starting point.
Ooh. Are you ready for your first trial?
Are we, Froyo?
I'm ready, cousin. This has been everything that I ever hoped for. I think...
It's a trial of strength and wits!
The gingerbread man produces a Christmas cracker. Or bonbon for our northern listeners.
Bon-bon-bon-bon.
Well, I suppose we'd better start by comparing our wits. What's your intelligence?
My intelligence is 13.
Mine's 18 again.
Now, the way this trial will work is we'll all play each other in a bonbon game.
What?
Yes.
We'll so I'm doing your voice?
Hello. No, I mean, we'll all go against each other in a bonbon game.
Sure.
Stop it!
Wait.
I've perfected this.
But if
you whacks him in the face with a candy cane.
What the?
It's a candy cane of striking plus four.
I'm already down to 12.
You take 6 points of damage.
Okay, but two of those are absorbed by the temporary hit points. So I'm only taking
right,
4 points
go.
Of damage. I'm down to
whatever
eight.
Makes you feel better.
So we're all going to have a turn playing each other in this.
Okay.
And do you want to expand?
Oh, yeah, sure. So if you win the test
where
of strength...
Where in the Dungeon Master's Guide did you find this, Simon?
We've
gone off book.
Yeah. If you win the test of strength, you receive a magical crown and a parchment with a riddle, which the loser must answer correctly. Answer correctly, and the crown loses its power and no one wins. Answer incorrectly, and the crown wearer gets a point.
Okay, so, and it's first to two?
You just have, you both have to just beat my score.
What's your score?
Well, we haven't played yet.
It seems that Froyo has been magically bound to this experience. It seems he's kind of become sort of a magical henchman to the Christmas, to the Yulemas King.
I'm so excited. I cannot possibly tell you how ready I am for this. My body is ready. My mind is ready.
All right, Froyo's up first. Let's crack on.
Well, why don't you and your cousin do the first one? Because, you know, that's a bit of a non-starter anyway.
Let's go, cousin.
Ha-cha-cha. Grab it.
Just
grab
give me a fucking second, will
grab
you?
It. Ready? One, two, ready.
Well, the trial of strength has been won by you. Now to the trial of wits.
So Friezo has busted the cracker, and what is he?
Is this literally guessed the shitty joke?
No, we've written
these. No, that's the shitty prize.
The shitty prize is the mystery calculator.
That's anyway. Not important.
Get to the riddle and the little crown.
Yes. Put the crown on.
Crown on.
Crown on. Crown on. Crown on. Crown on.
Crown.
Ho, 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 Merry Yulemas. Oh, you guys put these in there yourselves.
No, they are...
How do you take this long to get things?
This is the parchment with a riddle on it.
Right,
part
okay.
of the Yulemas trials, so as we
I'm
established.
I'm asking this, and it's, let's test
ask
our buzzers.
Ask it to Dave.
We're not testing
just
buzzers.
Just ask it to Dave.
All right. Well, cousin, why did the pony have to gargle? Why did the pony have to gargle?
Again, this doesn't really matter because it's just about my points, but...
Now,
in fact, strategically, it would be better if you don't guess.
Why did the pony have to gargle?
Because he was hoarse.
Ooh, very good. Very good. The correct answer is...
Because he was a little hoarse.
That's a half point. Half point.
That's a half point.
That's a half point. Now I will go against Froyo. Here we go. Kablammy, that's me.
Hey, what's the strength on your character sheet, Dave?
It's 8.
and my riddle.
Wear the crown. Okay. Wear the crown.
Why?
I'm asking,
get away from me. Why was the snowman looking through carrots? Why was the snowman looking through carrots? Your ancient riddle is why was the snowman looking through carrots?
Because what he sees, he knows.
What? Because...
He goes, aha, close, and then he pulls a lever... And a bucket of slime falls.
I'll allow it.
Did Filge make that in the house?
Yes.
Or is that magic? So Filge,
yeah, it's molasses.
Actually, Filge accidentally sneezed inside the house and it bounced up and stuck on the ceiling. And at that precise moment, it fell down.
Oh, boogers.
That's disgusting.
Because he was picking his nose. All right.
I don't...
One point to me.
What does that even mean?
The tie break.
I'm sorry, cousin. I failed you.
All right. One, two, three.
Oh!
It flew out behind you.
Oh. There is no riddle.
I guess that's a second hat for him.
Sorry. Thank you, guys. Oh, awesome. We also got a yo-yo. A Christmas yo-yo. All right.
Wear the hat.
All right. Oh my, okay.
I'm ready, I'm thinking.
All right, so the question is, why does the Yuletide King have such a big sack?
My, I'm only 12 minutes old. because it's full of... And then you just
let it out.
Because it's full of white Christmas. There you go. That's good. Is that true? Is that right?
Because he was a little horse. Oh, that's the other one. Sorry. The answer is because he only comes once a year.
That's 1.5 points to you and only 1 point to me. You've passed the first
voice. I hate it. You've passed the first test. That's the first Yulma's King trial.
Can I take a bite out of you now?
Whoa.
I want to bite off your arm. I want to eat one of his arms. Let me eat one of his arms. Don't whisper. Don't know. Make your own decisions.
Okay, yes, we can bite my arm. Go.
All right, I bite his arm.
I punch him right in the tonsil. Right in the back of the throat.
So, Frieza, you have successfully, along with your cousin, passed the first first trial of the Yulmus King.
Woo! You!
Thank you. Not quite. And so the gingerbread man takes his bag of piping, his piping bag full of frosting, and on the wall of the gingerbread house, he draws a simple door. And he goes up to it, and the knob turns and opens, and you can see into another dimension.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
What can we
see? When was the last time you saw something do that?
I think actually about like a month ago.
Okay.
In the castle. Like literally a vampire did that. Anyway, it's
okay.
Not,
yeah. Well, did you have a frosting and icing?
No.
Well,
no.
There you go. Then you haven't seen somebody do that.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Okay, well maybe
cousin, stop arguing with your spirit guide.
What do I see through the dimension?
Well, so the Rove says to you, the doorway to the next trial can only be accessed through the past.
The past.
The past.
So there's like swirly snow through there. Swirls.
So I have to go back and kill the Yulmus King again.
Who knows?
But you step through and it is early morning, still dark, in streets that you recognize as being the streets of Daggerford. Suddenly, the Christmas twinkle... A ghosty man appears.
Hey, Benny, do you have like a boxing bell, like in a boxing match? Like ding, ding.
I got the church bells from before.
That's right. Okay, great. All right. Let's make this a good, clean trip into the past. Standard past rules. You can look at things, but you cannot touch or influence the past.
Okay.
Let's make this a good, clean trip to the past.
Who are you?
I'm the referee of the past. Do you understand the rules, gentlemen?
No touching. That's the rules.
No touching.
No touching.
You can hear, but you can't touch. All right, I'm out of here. A lot of fights in the past. Bye.
Goodbye.
And we never saw him again.
No, you didn't. So you find yourselves...
Sorry, Rove. Benny, can I have an old-timey boxing bell because I have to play like the arbiter of the past?
The referee of the past. Just made the rules very clear.
I thought that was very fun.
Thank you, Benny.
And a lot of shade and colour. You guys should do this more often.
Thank you, Benny. Very kind of you to say so.
Very welcome.
Rove, Frieza and Froyo find themselves on the cobbled streets of Daggerford. It is the wee hours of the morning. It's still dark. Tendrils of mist wrap their way around the winding streets. We see two high elves emerge from the shadows.
What?
A male...
Sorry, what is this?
We see two high elves emerge from the shadows, a male and a female, resplendent in shimmering finery, approaching the temple gates. They are holding a basket with an infant elf wrapped in swaddling. Frieza, can you roll a perception check?
I can indeed. Frieza rolls a...
3.
It's all right, cousin. I know that you are feeble-witted and slow of eyes, so let me just, for you... 20! Oh!
Dear rich parents... Did your rich parents buy you some loaded dice, motherfucker? Is that what happened?
Frieza.
Did my rich parents buy you some loaded dice?
Funny you should mention that, because it is apparent to Froyo, and he tells you, that these are your parents.
And is the baby me?
Well, what do you fucking think? No, actually, it's the neighbor's baby that were looking after it. It's a shame you couldn't...
It's Filch. It's fucking Filch.
I'm sorry for being enthusiastic.
These two beautiful, magical beings walk down the cobbled street. Behind them, a few paces behind, is a child, a young elf, about 4 or 5, with a sullen expression, studying...
See, maybe I'm the child of the
everything
baby.
...everything around him. That child is Froyo.
Okay.
Friezo's mother says,
"He's so small. I can't believe the prophecy can be true."
"We can't take that chance. You know that."
"The oracle."
"Yes. The oracle foretold a power within this child so great."
"Friezo, that's the inexplicable voice of my father."
"It could destroy our world."
"But his story is not yet written. There is so much potential in him to do good. We could teach him."
"Something tells me there's no teaching this little guy." "But maybe a life in the temple will guide him to control his powers, instill in him a moral compass."
"My poor little baby. It's such a cold night. Poor little... Freeze."
In the street.
This seems late in the game to invent a nickname for him, but sure.
A baker passes with his handcart, whistling a tune, starting his way to the markets to begin the day and sell his wares to the innkeepers and stew merchants.
"You there, baker. Are those loaves still warm?"
"Fresh from the oven, sir."
"Here, take this gold piece and be on your way."
"Bye-bye."
The baker hands him the hot loaf of bread. Friezo's father addresses the young Froyo.
"Nephew, sometimes we must make choices for the benefit of the many rather than the individual. Our choice is a sacrifice. Magic is power, but it is also responsibility, never to be used callously or frivolously. Maybe Friezo will come to learn this lesson. Maybe not. Time will tell. But here are some folks more equipped to teach it than us."
He places the loaf in the basket next to the infant, who snuggles against the loaf.
Of bread.
He then places the basket at the temple gates and takes Friezo's mother by the arm, firmly but gently, leading her away as tears roll down her face. Friezo's mother breaks away and returns to the child. And reaching to the back of her neck, she unclasps her necklace and places it in the basket with the child.
"May this help guide your way."
She swiftly turns and follows her husband back down the alley. All this while, young Froyo has been standing there taking in the whole scene. Now he's staring down at the infant baby.
"Froyo, come!"
Froyo reaches down and takes the necklace from the basket. He holds it up to the friskillating light of dawn, and we see that it is a silver acorn pendant on a chain. Froyo stuffs it in his robes and runs after his uncle and aunt. The street is empty, save for you three ghostly figures. Ladies and gentlemen, a big hand of applause for Matt Roden and Tom Walker.
Tom Walker as Friezo's parents.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Is that how you feel, Friezo? You think that's beautiful?
No, I mean...
I say, cousin, what a strange spectral figure here to torment us with its nonsense meanings.
I look at... Friezo looks at Froyo's neck. What's going on there? What's Froyo got on his neck?
I don't know what
what's
you're...
What's he got on his neck?
I don't know what you're talking
what's
about.
The, what's the shiny thing on your neck?
What's the shiny thing?
The shiny thing on the neck? Friezo chokes out Froyo. He just chokes him out. Just grabs him by the neck and just begins to squeeze.
"I love you, cousin."
Yep. Do you want to try and break free from
Yeah,
this?
I do want to try and
break
free.
Roll the dice.
All right, I'm going to
make... Opposed, roll.
Acrobatics, roll check opposed from 20. Athletics.
Three.
I got a 3.
Oh.
Yes.
So I guess it comes down to our dexterity. What's yours?
My dexterity is 15.
Mine is 18.
Damn it!
Uh,
Froyo pulls...
It's not fair! It's not fair!
Froyo, what do you have to say to your cousin?
I can't believe you would attack me like that. These phantasms are just here to... Oh, I can't keep this lie anymore. I'm so sorry. I've been driven by guilt, for it appears that I have in my equipment list a magical acorn pendant, which is... all I have left to remember the two people who raised me with such love and tenderness. And surely you would not destroy the one link I have between the man that was like a father to me and the mother I loved more than any in this world.
Yet, Friezo is your last remaining relative. And you have been racked by guilt, lo, these many years. And seeing the forlorn look on Friezo's face, unusual...
I have to see that look to actually respond to it, so...
Wait, am I angry?
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, believe me, I know.
Which emotion is Friezo feeling right
Tell
now?
Tell me what to feel!
Michael?
What emotion are you feeling?
What emotion is Friezo feeling?
I think he just wants the necklace. Is that an emotion?
I feel no emotion. Give me the artifact!
What? It belongs in a museum.
The want of a necklace is an emotion, surely.
As Friezo stands in spectral form in the past, thinking, what is emotion? How do I feel it? We take a short break and see when we return what will happen to these new people who came together and form this week's version of the Dragon Friends.
Dragon Friends was DM'd this episode by Simon Greiner and Eden Lacey, with music performed live by me, Benny Davis, and features the voices of Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Ben Jenkins, and David Harmon. Shakira Khan designs our website, and the podcast is edited by me and sponsored by PAX Australia, the country's biggest video games and pop culture expo. We will be back with a third season of Dragon Friends next year, a new campaign in an exciting new setting, so we'll see you again after the summer break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.